We are a community of people who believe that Jesus is risen from the dead, that Jesus is alive. Hallelujah, he is risen. Let's listen to the good news from John's Gospel, John chapter 20, the first encounter with the risen Lord Jesus.
Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white, seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said. "I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary."
I have a lot of sympathy for the mum trying to teach her young daughter, 4 years old, about Jesus at Easter. Little Anna comes and she says, "Mummy, mummy, will the Easter bunny bring me a Smarties chocolate Easter egg?" "Oh, I'm sure he will," says mum. "I'm sure he'll bring you an Easter egg, Anna. But remember, Easter isn't just about the bunny or about chocolate. It's about Jesus." "Oh, but mummy, will it be a Smarties egg?" "Well, Anna, yes, I expect you might get a Smarties Easter egg. But the important thing about Easter isn't the bunny. Easter is about how much Jesus loves you and me and the whole world." "Mummy, mummy, how many Smarties Easter eggs will the Easter bunny bring me?" "Anna, I think he will probably bring you just one Smarties Easter egg. Do you know how much Jesus loves you?" "Mummy?" "Yes, Anna." "Will he bring me a chocolate nest too?" "You see, Anna's only 4 years old. And for someone who's 4 years old, Easter bunnies and Smarties Easter eggs and chocolate nests are way more interesting than Jesus. And they're enough to make Easter fun. That's fun enough for a 4-year-old. Now, my guess is that unless we're still four, we're looking for something a little bit more from Easter than sugar-coated clichés and an assortment of chocolate eggs. We're more interested in the realities of life. Anna's mum knows that she won't always be 4 years old. Sooner or later, probably sooner rather than later, Anna and all of us will encounter the dark night of heart-wrenching grief, devastating disappointment, smothering guilt. And when we do, we will need more than bunnies and chocolate. John, in his gospel, tells us about a woman called Mary, a woman who had once been as young and innocent as Anna, but whose world has now just fallen apart. She has discovered that in the real world, wars carry on being fought, people die, lies are told, equality seems a distant dream, justice is denied for many. The poor are still with us and are still suffering. We fail to care for the environment and we do not love our neighbour as ourselves. Like it or not, there's a lot of darkness around. And John tells us that Mary got up on that first Easter morning while it was still dark. It was dark for Mary, as it so often is for all of us. She has witnessed the horrific death of a man to whom she was devoted. She was there at the foot of the cross. She was there when the spear was jabbed into his side. She was there when the blood and water flowed. She was there when the women wept. I imagine she watched as the body was taken down, wrapped in cloths, and sealed up in that garden tomb. Mary does not believe that the resurrection has happened. She is still consumed by the darkness, a solitary woman weeping by a grave. But resurrection happens in the unexpected moment, in the unexpected place, in the space where all seems lost and our dreams lie broken at our feet. The light of the resurrection does not make the darkness disappear. It helps us to live in the darkness with hope. The men she ran to for help have left Mary. She's miserable and alone. For some reason, she turns around, and there stands Jesus. He speaks to her, also asking why she weeps. And through her tear-filled eyes, she responds, not realizing who it is. Mary assumes it's the gardener come to tidy up the cemetery. And Jesus looks at her with love and says simply, "Mary." All Jesus had to do was quietly speak her name. And Mary knew. The moment of recognition is so powerful and so personal. That one word, Mary. That's all it took to open her eyes and her mind. Jesus called her name and she was filled with hope. What a wonderful, intensely personal moment for someone who has almost given up. You know, it's personal for us as well. Yes, life gets messy and sometimes isn't pretty. And there are times when we are overcome by grief or even just distracted by the details of everyday living. Sometimes we just don't pay attention. But Jesus calls your name too. Jesus says Steve. Jesus says Laura. Jesus says Sheila. Jesus says Anthony. Jesus says, "I love you." God says to you, while it is still dark, this is a new day. In moments like these, when the darkness is all around us, we learn to listen for the voice of Jesus calling us again by name and hearing in this voice the sound of hope restored. We celebrate the resurrection of Jesus today because it is the hope to which we cling. And the promise upon which we stand. It's the very essence of the Christian faith and the pulsating heartbeat of Christian community. It is way, way more important than empty cliche. Yes, resurrection is a work in progress. It begins while it is still dark, but it has the promise of the glorious light of that first Easter day. It's worked out in everyday life, in each moment, in each decision, with the people that we meet and with those who we love and the decisions that we take under pressure and in pain. Easter addresses all of that and more. The universal human longing for life. You might call it meaning, you might call it purpose, you might call it peace. Augustine called it the longing for God, that restlessness that only finds rest in God. Paul Tillich called it the ground or the power of being itself. Kierkegaard called it the leap of faith that quells anxiety. All of us are seeking it in one way or another. We need more than chocolate and box sets. Easter is the Christian answer to the darkness of life. You see, Mary came to the tomb in the darkness, thinking that death had the last word. Maybe you can relate to Mary. Maybe this Easter 2020, you are resigned to the futility of life and the awful pain of death and the finality of death. Perhaps the death of a beloved family member or a friend, perhaps the death that pervades our culture, tragic deaths that come as a result of war and terrorism or random violence or global pandemic, or perhaps the death of a life-sustaining relationship or business. Maybe you've become convinced that not much makes sense in this life. And although you are breathing, your heart is beating, but it's also breaking. Easter is not a promise that your business or your family or the church or the world will be perfect or without pain. Resurrection begins in the darkness. But it is a promise that that power that gave you life in the first place will never abandon you. The power that raised Jesus from the dead can raise you from despair. And that same power is calling you by name. It's still doing a new thing in you and in the church and in the world. And it's this power that gives life. And that is the main thing that John wants us to know. Life can be yours in all its fullness. I cannot prove Jesus' resurrection to you. I believe it with all my heart and my soul, and I've concluded that there is credible evidence that Jesus rose bodily from the dead. It's historical reality, but I cannot prove that to you. But then you don't prove love. You embrace it. You don't prove power. You experience it. You don't prove life. You live it. You don't prove new life, you receive it. Just as surely as blood is pulsing through your veins right now, the life of Christ, the life that cannot die, is pulsing through creation, making all things new. And he calls you by name to receive that new life and share it with the world. And that, my friends, is better news than bunnies and chocolate and beer and Netflix and all the rest. Everything else under the sun. It's why we are celebrating Jesus today. Hallelujah! He is risen! Father, we thank you that in Easter you make it personal. You come to us as you came to Mary and you speak our name and you offer us love and forgiveness unconditionally in the name of Jesus because of what he has done. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying on the cross for us and rising to give us new life. We pray that we may embrace all that you have done for us as we offer you our lives in return. We thank you in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.